Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. This is Carl. We're getting ready to start our 90 minutes of the Bible study on Freedomizer Radio. And Raven will very shortly be joining us. And let me give a phone number here. If there's anybody that would like to, you can dial this number from anywhere in continental United States, either on cell phone or a landline, and it's a free phone call. It's 319-527-6208. Anywhere in continental United States, you can dial it on cell phone or a landline, and it's no charge. And if you do dial in and you listen to it by the telephone, it will tell you when you do get connected that you can hit 1 if you want to say something or make a comment or ask a question. And I will see that on my screen, and I will bring you on, and you can go ahead and speak, ask a question, make a comment. The only thing I will ask is 2 things always. Please keep the question / comments pertinent to the context of what we're talking about, because everything in the Bible is so interesting and so magnetic that we could get off on a tangent, and I don't want to do that. I want to keep it pretty much where we are. Hold on just a minute. Okay, are you there?
I'm here.
Raven, are you there? Yep, she's here. Okay.
I'm here.
So, and then the other thing, and this is rather a very bizarre request to make on a program that's a Bible study, but no inappropriate language or you will be immediately, it will cease, and I will add your number that I have to the list of numbers that I've got already who have played that game with us. Okay, why don't you, Raven, go ahead and say a prayer for beginning, for the, like every time, the Holy Spirit to not only guide us, but to give us the words to say, and for the people to let the Holy Spirit give them the spiritual understanding.
Father, you know exactly who will be listening, not only today, tomorrow, and in the next weeks, but in the years to come. And we just pray, Lord, that you will guide our words today. Give us the exact words that need to be said for those who will be listening. You have all foreknowledge as to not only who will listen, but exactly what their needs will be at that time. So we know, Lord, that you can tell us, you can give our spirit exactly what we need to know, what we need to say, even not knowing. So that this will reach out to all those people who are going to need, who need Christ even now and will be needing him in the future as they listen. Lord, we don't know. We don't know the names of the people who listen or where they live, but you know everything. And we give ourselves over to you as we go forward into this study. In the name of your most holy Son, we pray. Amen.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and start with John chapter 15, and we're going to read verse 1. And actually, what I'd like to do is we can go ahead and read the first 4, or let's say 3, and then I want to come back
okay.
and read 4 through. And we'll read 4 through 10 after that.
All right. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
All right.
Abide in me.
No.
Okay. Stop there.
No, yeah, we're going to stop there. Just looking at this, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine. What is the word, the true vine? What does that, why not just I am the vine? Just think about it. I don't think any answer is wrong. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. What picture does that give you? And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. Ouch. That it may bring forth more fruit. You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Boy, there's a lot in that. Whew. Okay, I am the true vine. The true vine.
Yeah.
I guess I could, that could tie back with John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the light. But I see something else. The true vine, folks. And again, the church I went to this morning, this man is it's amazing for someone who's in maybe the biggest denomination in the United States to say what he's saying. But he didn't even imply it today. He explicitly stated it. The churches are failing the people. And there are so many vines out there. There are so many vines.
Yeah.
They're painted the right color. They say the right things. They do out of discipline rather than the Holy Spirit the things that are the right things to do, but they are not the true vine. And this is just amazing how he came back and repeated it at least one more time. He was given a story today about Jonah. That we've all, if we're believers, we all have the responsibility through spiritual gifts of preaching preaching and teaching the Great Commission. And he was saying the churches are not doing it, folks. And another thing he said, Raven, is what we talk about so often. And he said this twice. He says, we're not here to be a professional critic. We're here to not cower away, to give in to the comfort zone, to being a untrue vine because of convenience or because we don't want to be criticized or, heaven forbid, it might cost us some money in the collection box. I mean,
yes.
The things he was saying today, I'm just fascinated with the way he sees through the smoke and mirrors of religion today.
Yeah.
There are a lot of vines out there, folks. The closer to the real thing they get, the more counterfeit their counterfeit effect has. The closer to the truth they get, the more deceit they are spreading. And remember in Matthew 24, when they asked Christ what's going to be the sign of his end coming, his coming and the end of time? And the first thing he said, there will be deception. People will attempt to deceive you. And that's that one I just absolutely love. In fact, that is one that Matthew chapter 24. And so these people in verse 3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will all these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And verse 4, Matthew 24. Jesus answered, said to them, he didn't say identify the Antichrist. He didn't say identify the mark of the beast. He didn't say specifically state when the rapture is going to happen, when the great tribulation is going to happen. He said, Now here again, they said, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Take heed that no man deceives you. There again, many, 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 as this pastor of this church I go to said today, that churches are failing. And when Christ said they're going to be deceiving you, he wasn't talking at the local state, at your state fair or your county fair, where some pseudo magician was working sleight of hand tricks. He was talking about they're going to deceive you in the church. And it's coming,
right,
folks. Open our eyes. Let's not sit in the churches where we don't have the true vine, which is Jesus Christ being preached, please. Because here, verse 2, if the true vine, if you're not getting nourished by the true vine, you're going to not bear fruit. Does that make sense? Every branch of me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit. Do you want to bear fruit? Is that really what you want to do? Then you've got to go to the true vine. And you've got to check this out. You don't listen to Carl and Raven say talk for 10 minutes and say that they're terrible or they're just wonderful, how charismatic and how prolific and profound. No. You've got to weigh us over a period of time. Are we consistently giving you the scripture? Are we consistently not adding something or consistently not taking away something? That's how you weigh it. You've got to, folks. Your eternity could depend on it. Because here you go. Oh, I'm just a branch, God. I can't do anything. No, you're right. But he died on the cross to give you what is called spiritual gifts, to go out and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ only. Nothing added, nothing subtracted. To bring people the Great Commission. Another term I'll use for the Great Commission is the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21. You have those ministries. He's given you the ability to do it. He's given you spiritual gifts to do it. You don't have to worry about you weren't made to be a preacher. You don't talk well. You don't this well. You don't that well. Because he doesn't want you using any of your gifts. He wants you to use his spiritual gifts, his special gifts that he's given you, the very power of God himself. And every branch that does not bear, he takes away. Are you going to stick willingly in a church where you have a vine that is not the true vine? And some poor person like me, almost 80 years old, sees some beautiful fruit. They go up and buy it, and they bite into it. And it's this plastic fruit that you use for decoration only. You're going to do that? And then the 80-year-old's teeth come out? It's your choice, folks. It's your choice. At times I sit, Raven, and I really do. Am I just too hard on what's going on? And as I listen to this man who was almost in tears today because he says neighbors, friends, relatives that we live in the same household could be on their way to hell, and yet we don't want to create any waves. We want to give them the false gospels. We want to make them part of the church of Laodicea, which he said the churches have failed the people, but he was very quick to say, and I gave him credit for this. God did not give you the knowledge of false vines for you to become a critic. He gave it to you for you to do with the gifts he's given you, to do the ministry he's given you to do in his way with his power. And if you're a branch, if you are the branch and you are not bearing fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I am from New York City. I moved here when I was 23. I can tell you probably about how poor an asphalt or concrete. I don't know anything about planting or anything. But I think what it says here, that he purges it, means that that's not a good thing. Now, God will purge it. He will purge it for a while. And how he does that is the very next verse. You are clean through the word I have spoken to you. But the purging, folks, go back to verse 2. You want to subject yourself to all of Hebrews chapter 12, which is about chastisement, chastening, discipline. Do you really want to do that, or would you rather let the Holy Spirit convict you and you take the action that he's convicting you to do right now and get away from these false vines? Because if you're not bearing fruit, you're not going to be condemned. No, not right away. He will purge it. And he will purge it, meaning he will take his double-edged sword and he'll start cutting you from one end to the other, upside down, right side in and out. You want to go through that, or would you rather make your own decision by the warnings we're getting? And then he says in 3, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Well, let's say you don't want to become clean. God, I hear what you're saying. And I understand your discipline. But I'm still going to stick to where I am for whatever reason. And thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and multiple millions of churchgoers that are in Matthew 7:23 are going to claim on Judgment Day that they've healed people. They've taught in the synagogue. They've cast out demons. And he's going to say the saddest words that I've seen in the scripture, and that is, depart from me, I never knew you. It's our choice. Now, you can say that, you know, that we're nuts and we're this and we're that, and we're making a ministry on criticizing people. Do whatever you want. I want you to read these verses we're going to give you today, because there's something else in here that even gets worse. And Raven will eventually read it. What do you think happens when he prunes a branch? That means takes all the dead stuff off of it. And he prunes it so it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I do know this from when we have our trees trimmed. They cut back all the stuff that is weak, that is not producing good, whatever you call it, branches or the limbs, several limbs on a tree may be having other little branches growing off them, and they're dead. They prune, they cut off and throw in the fire the dead weight, the ones that are dead. And he's going to do that to you to see if it brings forth good fruit. But let me jump real quick to 6. If after he prunes you and you still are going to stay in the church of Laodicea, read verse 6. This is the ultimate end if you will not take his chastisement and his disciplining of Hebrews chapter 12. Read 6 real quick.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned.
I don't really think we have to call on Raven with 2 college degrees to give us the hermeneutics or homiletics or any of this other stuff, or interpret this in 16 different languages, what that means. If someone doesn't get the, I won't even say analogy, the direct statement as to what that means, you go from verse 1 to 6. It can happen in a heartbeat. It can happen because of numerous reasons. It isn't easy, Raven, to turn back on something. I've done it twice, and it tormented me for weeks that I knew was wrong. All right, so we're going through 1 through 3. 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
The words I've spoken to are what? That is what makes you clean. For the churches today, and almost all of them, most that I've hear, most that I've even checked and not won't say tested, but went to in the town I live in, most of them are either implicitly or explicitly degrading reading the Bible. They're doing it well. They're putting 2 or 3 verses on the screen, which have nothing to do with any connection, and they don't preach on them. They will include the statements, but they're not preaching the central theme and the context of those verses. They're taking them out of context. And I'm not trying to criticize, because I've been through the churches too, and Raven has also, where they tell you how bad other churches are with a single motive getting you to come to my church. And
yeah.
Raven and I ain't got a church, so we don't fall to that category. But you better listen to what the Word of God is saying. Now, Raven, I want you to read 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which is among my at least one or either the top dozen or maybe the top 2 dozen verses that I hold on to every day. How does the Word make you clean? It's a miracle. Read 1 Thessalonians 2:13.
And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses.
Wait, 1 Thessalonians 2:13.
Oh, I don't know how I did that. I'm in Colossians. First,
that's
it was a good one,
that
though.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad.
Well,
that goes right along.
Not only that.
That is the one that actually does the cleansing. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to go on to 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Read 15.
Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. It was no accident that I went to Colossians instead of 1 Thessalonians. I'll still go to Thessalonians, but that was no accident. That was really good.
You know what, Raven, and we've talked about this briefly, you and I.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any standalone verse in the scripture. I don't think any verse can't be related to another.
You're right, Carl. You're absolutely right.
I'm not saying I can do that. Now, there was a guy 35 years ago, about 30 years ago, maybe a little less, I ordered this man's several of his Bible explanations, not really commentaries, but I guess it is. And it was more of expository preaching. The gentleman was a professor, a PhD, Dr. Willingham, and he was a professor of theology at Jerry Falwell's University, which is Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, I believe. And this man said for his PhD, you know, when you get your doctorate degree, and poor, I'm not speaking out of personal experience, believe me, you not only have to take courses and pass exams, take final exams, you have to produce also an original thesis, which means you come up with a conclusion, and you probably know more on this than I do. You come up with a conclusion, and then you defend that conclusion. He had to submit.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say.
I've never done this.
Well, I know someone who I typed up his paper for him, and we discussed it and this kind of thing. And I know that he had to defend it in front of – now, I don't
that
know if they
the
always
word.
Do
that,
this.
That is the word. And these other
yeah, he
PhDs
had to defend it in front
the
of
same
us.
The same subject
yeah.
you're in, practicing
yeah.
PhDs, not want to be like you are. These people are asking you trick questions to get you to defend your thesis point.
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly.
this Dr. Willingham was saying that one of the things, and this just amazed me, he said one of the things that they told him, they are going to give him a Bible verse, and they want him to biblically, not in his own imagination, biblically connect the two verses. They're given two verses, and he's got to connect them. And it's not necessarily out of the same book, the same chapter. It's just between Genesis 1:1 and the end of Revelation.
Yeah.
And I believe, Raven, we've seen that so many times where the same statement is either explained or then, in fact, there's a good one. Much of the scripture is not explained in a declarative narrative, which the question
right.
is not stated or the doubt given and then the answer given. You've got to find it elsewhere. I can't
you know,
imagine
Carl,
having that as your, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I truly believe that if I were going to school for my doctorate in theology or what have you, some
yeah.
sort of a biblical, doctorate.
Yep.
And God wanted me to get that doctorate. I were standing there having to defend scripture, you know, in this way that you're talking about. And this was something that God had wanted me to do, that I would not have to worry about doing this at all because God would give me the words to do that. If that's what he wanted me to do, then I wouldn't have to be concerned about it. He would give me the answers.
Okay, I'm not saying these things, Raven, for concern. I am elaborating
right.
on the fact that you and I have noticed that we can have something in Revelation that very well
yeah.
coordinates and says the same thing that Genesis says.
I mean, I agree with you, but I'm saying that if I'm just saying that if we try to do that in our own flesh, it can be very, very difficult. But
oh,
if
I
you're
don't
trying
think
to do
can.
It in the what's that?
Yeah. I don't think it
yeah,
can
if,
be
if
done in the flesh.
Yes, exactly. If we try to do that in the spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit to do it for us, it's really not going to be difficult at all.
I
know?
Realize that.
If we just let
Raven,
him
put yourself
yeah.
in this position, you've been you've been washing dishes to get through college. Then you're working
yeah.
a part-time job to get a master's. Now you're going for a doctorate. I could see that when someone told me this is going to be how you're going to defend your thesis, I would have a little bit of sweat. I'm sure I would.
Oh,
but
sure.
the point of the matter
sure.
is the Bible says the same thing from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation.
Yep.
I never know. Revelation 22, what is it, 21? 22, 21. That's an easy way to remember it.
Yeah, yeah.
But go ahead with 1 Thessalonians 2:13.
Yeah. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe.
What are the highlights
yes.
of that? Just go through. What strikes out at you? The first thing, if you, well, read it again. Go ahead.
The first thing is,
Biden.
I mean,
yep.
we can go by punctuation mark. For this reason,
that's
we
exactly,
also
that's
thank.
That's how I do it.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. I go by punctuation marks. because they're separate thoughts.
Yes. We all, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. And I mean, there's the first part, which is a common thread
it's
in
a lifestyle.
Scripture, to pray without ceasing.
It's a lifestyle.
Constantly be in prayer.
Okay.
Constantly,
what's
we are constantly in prayer for
you.
What's
the next thing that jumps out at you that we are so far away from today that it's discouraging?
Okay. So, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, so we are giving the word of God to others. That's the next thing. Giving
okay,
the word of God to others,
which is the word of what? Okay, and he's making the distinction. Because every minister that's preaching, every minister up there that's part of the Church of Laodicea that is
mm-hmm.
preaching and teaching prosperity and seeker-sensitive gospel, they're saying they're
yes.
using the Word of God. Now, what is the next thing you can't compromise on? It's either what word? No, go ahead. I'm not asking a trick question.
No, I just was going to say it must be the word of God. It has to be scripture.
Amen. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
How much of these words, folks, are given other meanings? Pick up five commentaries. Go to one verse and see how many different, or even argue with each other about what it means. In fact, let me give you a good one. Take the gift, spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, which is biblical.
Right.
Take predestination and election, which is biblical. Take
yeah.
free will, which is biblical. Take five or six or whatever you want commentaries and
yeah.
read the disagreements. And they're all going to say we're preaching the Word of God. Not
right.
one of them is going to say they're not. So there is what
yeah.
I see as the highlight why you're clean. When you're why you're clean, like verse 3 says, you're clean through
yeah.
his word because it is the word of God, not the word of men. And I know, Raven, I overkill this thing. In my own Bible studies that I do with people, I'm getting pushback on this because I'm beating this. It is a dead horse. In fact, the horse has been dead a long time. The odor is there in what I'm doing. But I'm not going to stop unless God stops me. We got to get away from listening to a preacher of our choice. And we know specifically, as this verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, that he is not preaching the word of God. He's preaching man's
yes.
word. And he's making millions of dollars off of it. I've
yeah.
used this before. I've been to churches where we preach out of a person, and it wasn't just one denomination. Back in the mid to late 90s, a certain California minister who just retired was
oh, yeah.
his book about purpose in life. Were being
right.
preached and taught in from the sermons and in Bible studies, and I'm going to range from the ultra conservative to the most charismatic, all
yeah.
across the board, all across the spectrum. And then I've been to another church where a commentary of the hallowed saints who wrote the commentary, the sermon was given out of his commentary, not the Bible.
That's
and then the Bible
heresy.
Studies in Sunday school were done the same way.
Yeah.
We got to make a decision, Raven. We do, because our souls, and I'm going to tell you, you may not have 60, 70 years like I've had to kick the can down the road. I think the people today, I think time is compressing. I think so much is coming to I think that the events are happening so quick that I don't think a person today in their 20s or their late 20s or early 30s or early 40s, let's say, where I was when I heard the gospel for the first time, is going to get 40 years to massage this and not make a decision. You've got to weigh this on your own now. Are you weighing everything you're hearing by? Are you weighing Raven and Carl by 1 Thessalonians 2:13? I hope you are. If you're not,
right,
don't get in that habit. Don't get in the habit of not weighing anybody. Well, go ahead. I'm sure you've got something to say on this.
The problem, Carl, is that we want to hear what we want to hear, which is basically what you're saying.
Amen.
Here. You know,
very good.
We want the pastor to say what we want to hear, not what God has to say. We want it to be our will be done, not your will be done.
Yes.
You know, and so what we want is we want them to read out of, you know, the extra books, the church tradition books, the feel-good books,
one, and I'll take from your Wednesday night program, especially the one that exonerates my secret sins.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. We want to know why God's not doing things the way I want it to be done. I want it now. I want what I want, and I want it now. This is especially, I'm going to say, the last, you know, about the last 100 years, really, if we really are honest with ourselves. The last 100 years or so, it has been, I want what I want, and I want it right now.
That's right.
And the longer we go along here, the more it is. You know, when I was a kid, you saw people saving up for a down payment on a house. Let's just use this as an example, okay? But they still were like, you know, nope, we're going to, you know, get this loan and we're going to get this house. We may not be able to afford it, but it's, you know, if we really scrimp and save and don't get certain other things, then we can. And we're going to do it by mom going out and getting a job.
I was there the
and
first
we're
house
do it.
We got.
Yep. But we're going to do it by mom going out and working. So now mom and dad are not home alone. When I was little, you know, it's a long story, but basically, I mean, at least I knew I came home from school and mom was there. You know, I could go out and play, and if I came home, mom was home. I knew that I could go around the neighborhood and, you know, and seriously, all my friends, all the moms were home. If there was something serious that happened, I could walk up to just about any house, knock on the door, and a lady would come to the door and I could get help. You know, I mean, I knew this.
No, I never thought of that, but you're right. I used as a kid, I knew every parent of everyone that I played ball with.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But now, I mean, and even when my kids were little, this was in the 90s, I mean, there were a lot more. I was a stay-home mom. My kids, you know, but I was unusual. I will say that. I was more unusual in being a stay-home mom. Most moms, you know, work. But now, you know, I mean, I will have, you know, people say to me, well, you know, I have actually been, even when I was doing this, you know, people would say, oh, how did you do this? How can you do that? That's impossible. We were very poor. But we did it. We never had a brand new car. Our home was very small. But my kids, I mean, they were, you know, they were loved. We did things together, you know. And I mean, a big deal was we would bake bread together. We baked cookies together and they helped out. But see, people don't want this kind of situation anymore. They want the new car, the big new house. Everybody, my kids were all in one bedroom together until they were about eight. You know, that's not acceptable anymore. Everybody has to have their own bedroom. Everybody has to have their own TV. My kids never had a TV in their bedroom until they were like 14 or 15. And then only one of my kids had one, and that was the oldest. See, there were no DVD players until they were older. There were no game stations or whatever they were called. I mean, they didn't have this stuff. They went outside to play. But now it's, I want this, I want this, I have to have it, I have to have it, I have to have it. But you don't. And it's this, but that same attitude carries into Christianity. I have to have what I want.
So hold on. The connection you're making about I want it now and I can get it now is exactly what's motivating the pastors of these churches, because they're struggling financially, is enabling them.
Yes. But it's not just enabling them. It's not just enabling them. It's enabling the church. See, the church wants what it wants when it wants it.
So the church's needs are why they're doing it. But they're tickling ears, like 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, when you get hacked off at the minister, you go elsewhere, and guess where your wallet goes? It don't stay in the church you left. It goes with you to the new church.
Yep.
And this is a
And this is what happened in the pandemic.
Yep. And it's continuing.
And so the churches want to tickle more ears.
You know, Pastor Rand said it again, Raven. 1,900 to 2,000 churches a year have closed since the full brunt of COVID.
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah.
And let me tell you,
God is now. We're seeing a bigger split since then.
What's that?
We're seeing a much bigger split since then. I think that you're seeing the same thing. We are seeing the churches, like a bigger dividing line. We're seeing the church itself go, we're either going to take a big step to the left. And I'm just using the left as a...
No, that makes sense. No, I understand you.
Yeah, we're either going to take a big step to the left or a big step to the right. We're either going to stand for God or we're going to say, the heck with it.
Hold on. It's because we're not preaching the truth in many churches today that they're closing. God has now got out his purging. What do they call it? Is there a certain term for a tool that you prune with? A pruning tool. He's pruning the churches right now.
It's that
and
separating the wheat
clean.
From the chaff.
And look at verse 3. You are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. They're not all clean, folks. Or you wouldn't have 1,900 or 2,000 a year of closing. They're not clean because why? They're not spoken the word that John 15:3 says. You are clean through the word I have spoken to you. No, you're not.
Right.
Now, let's
you know something interesting? I want to share something that I had looked up because it's really interesting. This verse 1 in chapter 15, very, very interesting little thing here. Verse 1 in chapter 15. In chapter 15, that word true, what's that?
Yeah, that true is the one where there are many fake ones, thousands of them.
Right.
That's the
spirit of Antichrist. that word true just kind of popped out at me, so I looked it up.
Right.
That word true means, it means that it's true all the way down to its underlying reality. So all the way down to its inner makeup. It's true inside and out. Yeah. Yeah, it's true all the way down to its source or origin. So what it means is that it all the way down to where it comes from. So he comes from, you know, and we know that he comes from God. So, you know, he is God. So he says, I am the true vine. Everything that is about me, in other words, he's saying, is true. It's not just what I look like. It's not just who I say I am, but it's every single part of me that it's true. It says it's emphasizes the organic connection between what is true and the source or origin is what it says. So it's every part. It's all the way deep down inside. And I just
what
find that
saying,
interesting.
What you're saying, hold on, what you're saying, it goes way much deeper and further than the fact that I make a true statement.
Yes.
Truth has to abide in everything in me from beginning to end, or it's deceit.
I love how you said it abides, because that's just it. It is part of that living. It's a living part of him. It's everything about him. He says, I am the true vine, and it is every single part inside and out of him. But you can't take it away from him. Yeah. It's impossible.
Okay, and then let me throw another one out to you that you don't need to look up the definition. My father is the husbandman, meaning the God, the Father. And what does the husbandman do? He gives us chapter 12 of Hebrews, the whole chapter.
Yeah.
And you know what? But those people who resist the pruning and the purging away of the dead branches, they could end up in verse 6, Raven. They could end in verse 6. Read 6 again.
Yeah.
It can happen.
If anyone does
this
not abide
serious.
In me, yes. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. We're talking about diseased branches here, Carl.
Yes. Dead
diseased
branches.
Yes.
If a man
abides not in me, dead. Yes.
Not bearing fruit. Now, if a man abide in me, why would, and you know there are multitudes of millions of people, especially where I go to church, that would pop nitroglycerin on what I'm going to say. If a man abide not in me, why would he say that if you had no choice?
Yes.
Now, abide means to stay. You're not going to stay in something you were never in. So this man means that you can be with Christ. You can be truly abiding in him. But if you don't continue in that, you are cast forth as a branch. And what happens to any? And even though I was raised in a housing project in New York City, I do know that when you take the wind or anything knocks a branch off a tree, the leaves die within 2 or 3 days, if not quicker. But Raven, you know that there are people who would go absolutely ballistic if I say that you can't, that verse 6 can happen to a believer. If it can't happen to a believer, why is it written in red, folks? Get away from man's wisdom and go to the Word of God. This is what I'm telling you. There's a very good preacher I listen to every morning if I'm on the road. And he comes on, and he always preaches and makes a point. And then about 10 minutes ago in his particular half-hour lecture, he says, so what? And his so what is so what that the Bible says this. Apply this to me. I want you to look at this, folks. And here, I'll give you the man's name. It's Lon Solomon. He's a minister out of Washington, D.C., the Lon Solomon. So what? Verse 6 is saying that you can be abiding in Christ. But if you don't continue, you will be cast out as a branch that withers and dies, and men throw them into the fire. Now, again, yes. You know, Raven, the very church I go to, people would say that can't happen. Well, you've got to get with the Holy Spirit quickly and have him change this verse along with many others.
Yes.
People
yes.
don't want it. They want to hear Carl say, no, Carl, it's all right. You can continue with your little secret sin. God knows. Yeah, God knows. And if you do not cooperate with him and repent of your sin and turn from your wicked ways, you will end up in the lake of fire. And that is scripture.
Right.
In fact, this morning,
well, you know,
this morning, hold on a minute. This morning,
yeah,
I've got a lot of things going through my mind about repentance lately because God has got a few things about me that he needs me to repent of. And I mean serious things.
Right.
And I just took time, about a half hour, 45 minutes, and I have listed all the verses about repentance and the result of repentance or not repenting and the result of that. And I'm going to put them all together in logistic order, and I'm going to do a study on that after when we're done with John chapter 16. I'm going to talk about the topic is going to be, if there is no repentance of sin, there is no remission of sin.
Excellent.
But I'm telling you, if you're listening to somebody, folks, who is not preaching biblical truth, and they say, well, Carl, 90% of what he says is accurate. Wait a minute. If he wasn't up around 90-95%, he wouldn't be deceiving you. Now,
right.
You've got something to add. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, this pruning, this and the reason for it, you know, we were just saying that, you know, he says he's the true vine, so that means everything about him is pure. Well, if we are grafted onto that branch and he allows us as dead weight, as a dead branch, to stay attached to Christ, we eventually, our deadness is going to start to infiltrate onto that pure vine.
And
he can't allow that to happen.
And Raven, that's, you mentioned COVID and the result of COVID. And it's arithmetic, folks. Even if you're an atheist, it's arithmetic. The church is closing.
Right.
Johnny
well,
Swigert,
in first,
Jimmy Swigert Ministries.
In 1 Corinthians 3, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Donnie Swigert of Jimmy Swigert Ministries has said twice that I've heard this year, and I only listen to him rarely. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's time-wise. But he said twice, the Assembly of God churches have since COVID have deduced that they have lost 40% of their income.
Wow.
And they've lost 40% of the income because people are being purged. And you said something I never thought of. If you don't, and you remember Tammy, who went to Eric's, one of the singers in Eric's church?
Yeah. Yep, I do.
Well, she always sang with Eric's wife. Okay.
Yeah.
Tammy's husband, he not only is a person who cuts down trees or used to and trims trees,
mm-hmm.
He is literally schooled in the Japanese art of healthy trees, and I don't even know what I don't know about it, but he told me. He said, if you do not prune your trees, the dead branches will overcome the live branch.
Yeah.
That's why Christ is pruning his church right now, because the church right now, as Pastor Rand said today, if not three times, for sure twice, the churches have failed the people.
Right. Well,
but
this is why 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17.
Let me get there. Hold on. I want to make sure I got it. I don't want to have things being said and me just sit here with my mouth open.
Yep.
1 Corinthians 3, go ahead.
16 and 17.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
yeah,
not
yeah.
know that you are the temple of God and this God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And this goes perfectly with that. Listen, he cannot allow us to destroy, to cause this putrefaction of himself. And so he has to purge that out. Yes, exactly.
Have you, Raven, you, without going into great detail, your parents had a business. You worked in the business. Have
my
you
dad
ever
did,
been
not
to
my
a
mother.
Point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you worked in it.
Yes.
Have you ever had to? And as a manager, I had to do this, and I hated it more than anything.
Yeah.
I had to let people go who were taking down the rest of the organization.
I did. I had
and that's
to do
the
that.
Same thing. Say, well, that's
it's
terrible.
Hard.
That's a, as a manager, it destroyed me.
Yeah.
It
hated having to do it, but.
Amen. But you got to, or you're going
to
destroy the other people. Exactly.
Yes.
And that's where I see God moving now, folks. Let's not be Pollyanna about this.
Right.
God is moving. 1 Peter 4:17. If anybody looks at the morality of this nation and says that we're not in the cesspool, biggest cesspool we've ever been in, then you and I are on such different wavelengths, they're parallel lines. We'll never meet. Everything, even the party that is right now in the presidency is saying that this has got to stop. We're going down the tube as far as we can go. I talked to another cousin this week, unbelievable, who I've been talking to, the girl, since 1966. And she is a very liberal, and she's persuasion is a Democratic Party, but she is saying that whether it's Democrat or Republican, and she's not a Bible thumper that I know of, she's saying that morally, ethically, this country is in the pits. And I'm going with that is God says that before the judgment comes to the nation, in 1 Peter 4:17, who is going to get judged first? It is the church.
Yes.
The church.
Yes.
Because we have allowed these dead branches for 100 years, as you say, which I think is a very good estimation. We've allowed these dead branches. When are we going to get up off of our mediocrity or our drunkenness? This is a drunkenness that the spirit of Antichrist is committing fornication, spiritual fornication, with a church with today, committing spiritual adultery. When are we going to realize, folks, that this stuff, if we don't wake up, because every day you keep doing a habitual thing. I even read today where someone was saying that the best way to teach is repetition. There's no doubt about it. How?
Right.
Because every day, folks, the farther that railroad train gets from your house, the less you hear it. The same noise, the diesel engine or the steam diesels, they don't make any less noise.
Right.
We have got to wake up to these verses, folks, that you've got to realize what Jesus said in Matthew 24:3-4. The biggest sign of the end is going to be deception in the church. You've got to realize these things. And I give this gentleman that preaches at the church I go to credit, because he's looking at the churches and saying, folks, and when he says the churches are failing, he's meaning us. And he gave that whole sermon today, Raven, that we have not done. We're not doing what we're to do. We're sitting back either complaining or just don't care.
Yes.
And we're going to be judged for it, because we've been given spiritual gifts. In fact, he made that comment. You've been given gifts, and you know what happens to the one who was given gifts by God and he ignored them. It cost him his soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is so much. And, you know, I looked at this, of course, before we did it, but there's so much in this. I still don't feel we can leave verse 1 through 3, but I guess we should. Actually, you were in this, abide in me and I in you. That means stay there. And again, the point I want to reiterate on that, there's people that say you're predestined. You can't move. Don't say that, folks. Read the Bible.
Yeah.
Nothing in the Bible, and I know the verses that say nothing can separate you from the love of God, and I believe that. Or I wouldn't be coming on this program if I didn't believe that. But nothing in the Bible says anything, but you have a choice to make. You have a decision to make. It's your choice. You can walk away from God at any time, and Hebrews 3:12 states that.
Yes.
Which is one you've given a talk about. You can't depart from something that you haven't been in.
Yes, exactly.
Now, how do you bear fruit? You must abide in the vine. Now, Raven, that goes back to your statement about taking the doctrine thesis, the oratory part of it. You can't bear fruit. It's the Holy Spirit who bears it through you.
Yeah.
You have to abide in him and he in you.
Yeah.
And the same will bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. That's verse 5. Verse 4 and 5, read the two together. They go so well together.
All right. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine.
You can't say that.
You are the branches.
Go ahead.
I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing.
Do you need a book on it? Do you need a thesaurus and three different translations of the Bible and all kinds of different language dictionaries to understand nothing? I know it's a sarcastic statement, but let me make it. What part of no don't we understand?
Right.
I mean, really, that's a crude, rude comment to make. But I have to say, Carl, what part of nothing do you not understand?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, this is so serious, Raven. What I'm saying is, Raven, you and I both. You do your radio show at 7:30 every Wednesday night, Eastern Standard Time, now Eastern Daylight Saving Time. And I do this at 3 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time on Sunday. Don't think that we're not going to be under the temptation to just don't abide totally in one thing. Why are you and I have our relatives to say, why are you so one way? Why are you so narrow-minded? Because Jesus Christ is narrow-minded. The Father is narrow-minded. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Christ. There's only one mediator between man and God, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. It is very narrow. It's lonely.
Yes.
Raven, I'm going to say something. If I'm wrong, don't be afraid to say it because it's really not my business to talk about personal matters. But would you not say that some relatives of yours have not
just say it.
Avoided, they may have avoided you because of your Christian because of you abide in Christ? I don't know how to say it.
Oh, absolutely. 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 Yes. I would say, in fact, I would say avoided me because of his putting it nicely. Yes.
But I mean, but this could be the reason.
Oh, I've been told. Do not talk about Christ. I don't want to hear it. If you continue on that, I won't talk to you. And I've been told I'm not talking to you because. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I've been downright told off because of it. Absolutely. Yeah.
So the choice is ours, folks. You wonder, how can people make this decision? Very easy. Your family, your friends, your church. If you're going to come in here and demand that we preach repentance, there's no way to go to heaven other than forgiveness of sins. There's no way to be forgiven of sins other than repent. And if you're going to preach that in church, we don't want you here. We'd rather you not be here. We're going to relieve you as a Bible study teacher, whatever it is. This is the enemy is going to when the enemy sees that you're enduring Hebrews chapter 12 with a husband and God and the Father is pruning you and cutting off all those things that are in you that are going to cause you to die and maybe the rest of the tree, the rest of the branches. He's got to prune you. But when you are being pruned and you're producing tremendous fruit, the enemy's attack on you is going to get worse. He's now not going to just go to your friends. He's going to go to your husbands, your wives, your children, your parents. And they're going to, I heard a story yesterday on our Friday. A man in it was Juan Solomon, a lady that he knew. She came to him and she said, I was told not to bring Jesus Christ up on our, every 3 weeks or every month they get together, the family and all the brothers and sisters and all the Goombas and folks, I'm Italian, so relax, all the compadres get together. And she says she's told more often than not, don't bring Jesus Christ up. And she said one day she couldn't take it anymore, and she brought it up, and she started giving the gospel. And her mother actually told her that your brother is ADD and all these other terminologies that I don't even understand. And she actually told the her daughter, if he commits suicide because of you, I guess he was threatening suicide, it's going to be your fault because you're preaching Jesus. So she went to this pastor, Juan Solomon, and said, did I do the wrong thing? Folks, the steak, the more effective for Christ, the more nutritious that fruit you're bearing is to fighting the enemy, the more the enemy is going to fight you. You're not going to have your best life now and be all that you can be and all this other rot. Look at not that it's rot to have great things, but look at the nonsense preaching that we're doing. And I'm saying the seeker-sensitive movement is the roots and the fertilizer and the water for the prosperity gospel. Everything is going to be great. Tell that to 10 of the original apostles. You've got to discount Judas. He committed suicide. John the Revelator, he died of old age. But 10 out of 12, which is what? 5/6. That's 80% of them. Were martyred for their faith. They had their best life now. Be all you can be. Don't fall for this nonsense. You've got to realize that when you start standing up for Christ and you're producing healthier fruit, the enemy is going to take a shot at you weren't expecting. Stay in Christ and he in you. Well, you're a good
John 15 talks about it.
What's that?
John chapter 15 talks about this.
Well, I'll tell you what, we still got 20 minutes. Let's continue and read verse 6, 7, and 8.
All right.
Well, we read 6. Go ahead and read it again, and then 7 and 8.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this,
okay,
my Father is glorified. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you read 8.
By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Okay. If you abide in me, how do you abide in him? He gives you the very next phrase in verse 7. My words abide in you. Not the words that Pastor Carl or Sister Raven wants you to concentrate on. My words, the whole scripture. Don't take it out of context. And what does this mean, Raven? I'm sure you know. If you will ask anything in my name, it will be done for you.
To be in his will, in other words.
That's right. In other words, if you're in his will and he's abiding in you and you're abiding in him through his word, you're going to now want the things he wants for you. This does not mean, as I actually heard in, I won't mention the town, but where I first went to Pastor Dave's church, right where the airport is, a man said that the Bible actually says God will give him the lottery number, winning lottery number. And he quoted this.
That's got to be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, Carl.
But Raven, this is the nonsense that's being allowed to be in the, being allowed to be talked about.
Yeah, it's
nonsense. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
I can ask anything in his name. No. Why is it? Because if he abides in you and his, if you abide in him by his word abiding in you, which is the only thing way you can abide in him, you're going to want the things he wants. Raven has no interest in my knowledge. My knowledge, you have no interest in auto racing.
I would watch it, but.
Okay, well, you're not
but,
a nut.
But I'm not.
I was right. No. I knew auto racing, and I knew every driver's name and their hometown in the Indianapolis 500 at 4 years old before I went to grade school. But if she had my mind, and my point is if she had my mind, she would love racing, even though the real her doesn't. That's the point here.
Right.
We all have the mind of Christ, and the more you abide in Christ, and he abides in you through his word, it's not magic, it's a miracle. You now want the things that Jesus Christ wants you. That's why you ask, and it will be done.
Yes.
It's not magic.
Yes. Yes.
Now, these verses here are about abiding and bearing fruit and abiding in him and his word abide in you. I would like you to do, if you wouldn't mind, I would like you to go to John 8 and read 30 through 32, which pretty much synopsizes what we just read about this.
All right.
About the fruit and abiding in him.
As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Are there any things in your life, folks? I can tell you there's something in my life, and it bit me hard this morning, that I'm not free from. Is there anything you need to, you want to be free of? You shall know the truth. Okay, what is the truth?
And who is the truth?
The truth. Yeah, read John 14:6.
Yes.
You can't get away from it.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ is the one that makes
you
free.
So you want to be free of something. You want to be free of alcoholism. You want to be free of addiction to pornography. You want to be free of something you know is wrong. I have something that's very, very much rooted in me, and I'm not going to say it because I'm not here to talk about myself, but just a situation. It bit me hard this morning in church, and I immediately said, God, I'm coming to the cross. I can't do it. Please set me free. Now, it's something that I have chosen to nurture all my life, and I'm wrong, but he's the only one that can set me free. This is interesting. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Look at the people who go to these churches that want to get away from reading scripture. People don't even go to church carrying a Bible anymore. Well, Carl, you're saying if I don't carry a Bible, I'm going to hell. I didn't say that. Listen to what the Bible says. Don't try to use one verse to contradict another. That's what I'd be even stupider than I sound, look, and act if I said if you didn't carry a Bible, you're going to hell. That is stupidity. But people won't. I've heard that in Bible studies, Raymond. But then you're saying that I got to carry a 400-pound Bible. No. Why are you using one verse to contradict another? Why? That bothers me, the mentality, more than doing it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yep.
The truth will set
you
free. Yeah, go ahead.
If your intention is to take one verse of the Bible and try to contradict another, if you are saying, well, you know, this one contradicts this one and this kind of thing, instead of trying
that
to prove
that, Raven, the motive that would allow you to do that bothers me more than the fact you're doing it.
Yes, it's the motive. And if that's what you're doing, then you should be looking to yourself and finding out exactly where your heart is in regards to God.
That's a very good statement.
Yes. If you are looking to contradict God's word by taking one verse and saying, look, these two contradict each other, instead of saying, how can I see how they do work, then you should be looking to see actually where your heart is in regards to God, because you're trying to prove God wrong, not trying to prove him right.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
So you have a problem with your heart.
Exactly.
There's a problem with where your heart is. I see this happen every day, Carl. I see people telling me, you know, well, this one doesn't match up. Well, you know what? Well, go read the context. Go look at what's really going on here and talk to God. You know, don't sit here and try to prove to me that they don't work together. Instead, go ask God to prove to you that they do. It's the heart's in the wrong.
Let that sink in. Let that sink in, what you just said, folks. It may cost you your pornography. It may cost you a little free money you get from church.
Your sexual lifestyle. Did I just hurt somebody?
She said it.
Maybe you have to move out of the apartment or the house you're living in with your housemate. I'm just going to put it that way, that you're living with, who the two of you are not married. Oh, but how am I going to live? We don't have enough money to live separately. Leave that up to God. Trust in him. to make that work. Because are you telling me, that God is not going to allow you to live a decent life? Now, when I say decent, I'm not talking about, you know, lavish and all that kind of thing. But are you telling me that God won't allow you to have clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and food over your table, and a way to get to work? Just those four things, because you're going to obey him? Come on now. You're making excuses. You're making excuses for living in sin. God isn't going to punish you for obeying him. That's just baloney. You are making excuses. I guarantee you, you will not be punished for obeying God. It's not going to happen. That is Satan whispering in your ear saying, nope, can't be done. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to do it. You can't. Mm-mm.
And you know what? In the natural, with a pencil and paper, it may not work.
That's right. Carl, I want to tell you something. Right now, the money I get right now, because I'm on disability, and you know the situation, you know how this came to be, I should not be able to live on what I'm making. Shouldn't. But God does it. God does it. I don't question it. I just live. God makes it happen. I just trust him every day. I just trust him every day. He makes it happen. He just does.
Yeah, I'm not adding anything to it because you're on a roll.
Yeah, I mean, he just makes it happen. You know, when I know that when I went on disability, and I truly believe that there was a purpose in all of this. There was a reason that I ended up having to go on disability. God knew that it's what had to happen. I mean, I just believed him. And when I stepped out in faith, because that's what it was, and said, okay, Lord, I know that you're allowing this to happen to me. I know you're taking me here for a reason. I mean, you know all about that day when I just went, okay, and I submitted. I submitted. That's what I had to do.
I want to interrupt you a minute and ask you a question.
Yeah.
When something comes up.
Yeah.
Now, you say you shouldn't be able to live on it. And I know this happened.
Yeah.
You bought your vehicle to a friend of mine who is at a dealership. He's a service manager, and he wouldn't let you drive the car off the premises. At that time, when you thought about it, you need a new car. If you didn't even know how you're going to eat week to week, did you ever wonder in your mind, God, how are you going to give me a new car? I mean, do those fears ever come into your mind?
For a moment.
Occasionally. Okay.
It did for a moment. Yeah, did for a moment, and then I just kind of went.
Okay, so Raven, so what? Why talk about a car that's rotted out and unsafe to drive? What did you do in that moment? We're all going to get attacked in that moment. That's the key.
You know what I did?
That's my so
it
what.
It was so funny. It was so funny because I had this moment of, what am I going to do? And then God said, but I protected you. Look at what I did. You're worried about the future.
Okay.
Look what I did. I protected you. Yeah, I could have been dead. And worse, my granddaughter could have been dead. We'd been driving around in a car that the guy had just said had been dangerous. For months.
Well, actually, folks, what happened
to me?
What actually happened is the frame was literally rotted away, and there was no way.
Yeah.
There was no mechanical thing holding the car from just collapsing on the ground. But the point is, what you're saying then.
Yeah, he told me the steering wheel. Yeah.
Okay, but what do you do, Raven? Hold on. What do you do the moment that this realistic, I can't even guarantee I'm going to be able to pay my rent. How am I going to buy another car? What did you do at that moment, or did you just keep silent?
I just prayed. In my head, I just prayed.
Well, that's
Lord.
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for.
Yep.
All the car conversation and so what? What do you do when that moment of reality hits you where you really can't afford it?
Yeah. I just
really
had to pray and say, okay, Lord.
Okay.
I got to give this all to you because I can't do it.
This is where I'm going with it. You see, Raven, where that's the so what moment? Who cares about the car? But so what?
Yeah.
But your so what moment is you go right to prayer when this reality. And it wasn't fear of you just being a worrywart. It was true fear. You couldn't afford a car.
Right. Right.
Okay. But God came through, and I know the story on that.
Yes. Yeah.
But when you But when you find that point where it's mathematically impossible or physically or spiritually impossible for you to overcome the odds, what you did immediately is you went to prayer. So that's where I want to end this thought in this program with. When things do not work out, not that you're a pessimist and you got to think of the cup as half full and all that psychology nonsense. I'm saying when reality hits you, your message to people is pray.
Immediately.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want to know so what, as Ron Solomon says.
Yeah.
Now, he's quite interesting, folks. He gets into talking about he preaches the gospel and right out of the Bible, but he always comes down and says, so what? And he applies it to real life, and that's why I wanted you to give this. And we got to end with that. But no, you went right where I wanted you to go. You can't allow this festering of worry to continue. It'll eat you
and
up.
And don't
It'll
give
destroy
up.
You.
Don't walk away from prayer until you get an answer. Now, the answer doesn't
That's
have to be yes. The answer doesn't have to necessarily be what you think it's going to be.
That's
I thought my answer that day was going to be, they're going to fix my car. Nope. So then you got to go back
there
to
prayer.
There's
no more metal. The metal. The metal was rotted away. I saw the picture of it.
Yep. Yep. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is
that,
just wait.
That Raven, that is very difficult for me personally.
Yeah, that was my answer that day. My answer was that day was just wait and trust in me. Just wait
That's
and trust
tough.
In me. Yeah, but.
Tough.
But that was the same answer I got 3 years ago, 4 years, more than that, several years ago, with my family, with getting my granddaughter back. Just wait and trust in me. See, I learned that lesson of wait. I learned that the lesson was, yes, when he says just wait and trust in me, he comes through every time. It may not be in my time. But he knows the right time.
Yep.
My time.
Okay, I hate to cut you off, but we're right
yeah,
at.
Yeah, we
gotta
go.
We're right at. Why don't you quickly say a thanks to the Holy Spirit? Because this has been, folks, when we're answering, so what? We all need this. All need it.
Yeah. Father, we thank you so much that you remind us that your time is not the same as our time. We must remember to let go of our fears and give them up to you because you had the ability to change things in a single moment with us not even realizing that it's happening. And we have to just let go of it and allow you to carry our burdens. We love you, and we thank you so much for you taking care of everything for us in your own time. In the name of your most wonderful son, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, and we'll see you next week, folks. Take care.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Kyle.